Hey everyone, it's time for our check-in with Krista Poulton, our medical herbalist. Hi Krista, how you doing?
Hi Jeanine, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you. I'm just waiting for it to warm up.
Well, we don't have any snow here, so I would love some snow.
How about we house sit for each other for a while?
Oh, I would love that. Oh, be in the forest in the coonies?
Oh, we'll have to talk about that later. Okay, what would you like to share with us today in the herbal world?
Well, I thought it'd be fun to kind of continue again with the medicine making. And
okay.
Talk about tinctures. Again, you know, we talked a lot about empowerment of, you know, making the medicine at home. And again, tinctures are another thing that you can really make at home with the ingredients that you probably have in your kitchen pantry, potentially in your alcohol shelf. For wherever you keep your alcohol, really easy to make tinctures at home.
Great. Well, then let's take it away and share with our listeners how they can make their own tinctures.
All right. Great. So tinctures are typically an alcohol preparation. We can make tinctures with other types of extractors. So we can use vinegar and we can use what's known as glycerin. Glycerin is a byproduct of the plant industry. It's like a really sweet, it's like 50 times sweeter than sugar type of, it looks, kind of like a sticky, thick fluid. It's mm-hmm. kind of looks like a sugar water. Mm-hmm. And it's from the plant industry. And so they are doing some sort of, you know, manufacturing of it. So it's not something that I can make. I can't make glycerin. So, well, glycerins are really nice. They're super sweet. and you can't really make everything in a glycerin, and you can't take the right dosage of glycerins. Glycerins, I find, are about drop dosing. So you can take a couple of drops of like a rose glycerin or whatever plant, but you won't be taking a cupful, like a teaspoon or a tablespoon of it, because that would be too strong, too sweet. So I do like glycerins, but they're not my favorite. Vinegars I like as well, but vinegars aren't the best extractor. Vinegars are really similar to making a tea. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a preserved tea. It's really good extracting minerals and vitamins and some plant constituents that are called alkaloids, but only some. Mm-hmm. Alkaloids tend to be a bit of a stronger plant activity. Their plant, the way that the plant is made up of a chemical composition of the plant. Mm-hmm. And it tends to be a bit stronger, those alkaloids. But it doesn't extract everything. Whereas tinctures, why we use alcohol as a extractor is that it does a really good at extracting these chemical constituents of the plant. And it's these secondary constituents of the plants that we look for medicinal activity. These secondary characteristics, the secondary constituents, are usually constituents that the plant makes to help it live. So potentially it's not getting enough water. There's insects, trying to feed off of it. And so it's not the primary food storage type of chemical constituent. It's usually something to help the plant survive. And that helps us for medicine. So that's usually the medicinal aspects of our plants that we want to be using. So that being said, I'll make a little tidbit on growing plants is that sometimes we want our plants to live in harsh conditions. We want them to reach for the water table. We don't want to water them every day. We sometimes want insects to eat them because they're going to make a stronger medicine. So we do want to give some tough love to our plants, which is hard because sometimes you just want to baby them and love them and water them every day. But it's actually better to give them a little bit of tough love, kind of, forget about them for a bit and they'll survive. They'll make stronger constituents for mm-hmm. our medicine.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Great.
Yeah. I know. Growing medicine is always a really interesting kind of dynamic because you do have to give this tough love and it's hard because they're your babies. Mm-hmm. You water them, but you have to just let them, reach for that water table or get eaten a bit. Mm-hmm. So again, while we're using alcohol as an extractor, is that it's just such a strong extractor. It does a really good job of extracting out some of our more potent chemical constituents. So it does a really good job of, for example, extracting out resins. So if I, a good example that I tell my students is that if I am hugging a tree or I'm out in the forest and I get sap on my hands or resin on my hands, if I went to the stream and tried to wash my hands, it wouldn't come off.
Right.
And that's really showing that alcohol, if I had an alcohol swab, so if I got first aid kit and I had an alcohol swab, it would come off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really showing that alcohol is going to dissolve resin compared to water.
Good point.
So there's just different ways of, different constituents that will dissolve in alcohol and ones that will dissolve in water. Typically with water, we're thinking of our minerals, our vitamins, mucilage, so things that make it mucilaginous. So if you think about your marshmallow root in water, it's going to get mucilaginous.
Mm-hmm.
And some alkaloids as well. So there is some alkaloids that will come out. But a lot of times our stronger extracts will be in tincture form. And it's a necessary component to have the alcohol extract, as it will make the plant extract to be a stronger compared to vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I do like vinegar tinctures as well, but I've had a lot of my students ask me how to make alternative tinctures for people who have sensitivities to alcohol. And it's a challenging scenario because there isn't a lot that we can do, but eating the herb will be as good, as long as their digestive system is good, eating the herb will be, our stomachs will do the job of extracting as long as the stomach power is there. So we got a good digestive system.
So your recommendation, if someone has issues with alcohol, is to use the whole herb.
Yeah, so having it in capsule form, they could do the vinegar tinctures as well. So there's certain herbs that will be really good in vinegar, but lots of teas and capsules is what I would recommend.
So what herbs would work with vinegar?
Are herbs that are high in minerals and vitamins, and then some alkaloids. So if you think about our spring tonics, like nettles, cleavers, things like that, that goes really well into a vinegar. Oats. So things that are a bit more nutritive, I find are better in vinegars.
Okay.
If you look at echinacea tincture versus an echinacea tea, an echinacea tincture should be tingly. I have to warn my patients because my echinacea tincture is pretty strong. And some patients think they're having an allergic reaction because their mouth is going numb. So you do have to let people know that the tincture will make your mouth numb. And that's using the root. So I use the root of echinacea because that's going to be what is more stronger in the immunomodulation activity.
Are you using purpurea or?
I prefer angustifolia, but I use purpurea as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the immunomodulating, so helps to modulate the immune system, comes from a constituent called alkylamides. Alkylamides extract in tincture, which gives the numbing quality. So your tincture should be numbing.
Mm-hmm.
In the tea, it's not going to be numbing. And you're still going to get some benefit of echinacea tea, but it's going to be stronger in a tincture. The other reason I really like tinctures is that compliance is a lot easier. So if you can handle alcohol, just doing a little, a teaspoon twice a day teaspoon twice a day is going to be, a lot easier than making a cup of tea and sitting down and drinking the tea. So I find that patient compliance of taking their dose is really simple. So they have it next to something else that they're doing every day, like a multivitamin. Really simple to pour out your, usually I do a dose of 7.5 mils twice a day. So they just pour it out, add it to water if they want to, or they can do, they can sip it as well. So, they can be strong in flavor. So you might want to dilute it, but, patients will, I'll give patients both a tincture and a tea, and they'll say, I made the tea for 4 days and I haven't made it the rest of the month, but I took my tincture every day. That happens 80% of the time when I give a tincture and a tea. So my main practice, I do give tinctures. I love teas, but teas in my practice are more of a supportive supportive to the whole protocol. So more looking at nervous system, grounding, anxiety, it's going to be supportive. It's not going to be my main protocol unless they're sensitive to tinctures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I found that if I'm supposed to take a half a teaspoon or a teaspoon, I'll see how many dropperfuls that is. And I don't even use the teaspoon then. I just squirt it in my mouth and then I take a big gulp of water afterwards. Just make it easy.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You can definitely count how many drops or dropperfuls that is too. So I recommend doing that a couple times because as the bottle gets lower, the dropper won't be able to pull up as high. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's always good to check that. Okay, so I will give you guys a quick little intro on how to make a really simple tincture.
Great.
So there's a method called the Folk method, and the Folk method is a method where there's no measurements. It's all folk. So there's it's just a hands-on, no measurement type of process. So it's a really easy process to make. But if you make the best dandelion root tincture, you can't recreate it. Because you don't have the measurements.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a folk tincture is where you are taking the plant, either it's in the fresh form or the dried form. We'll talk a bit more about the difference between fresh and dried tinctures. So we would take the fresh or the dried plant, put into a mason jar, and cover it with an alcohol. If you're going to do it that way, I prefer rum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my preference. If you're using fresh plant has water in it. So fresh plant will dilute your alcohol down, which means that our minimum preservation to preserve a tincture is 25%. So I recommend if you're doing fresh tinctures to do 40% rum.
Mm-hmm.
So just do 40% rum. Some people like vodka. I find vodka for myself, it has a real, it feels really strong. In my practice, I use organic cane alcohol, and I find that cane alcohol compared to like a grain-based alcohol is a lot softer, a lot cleaner. I can open up my 95% alcohol. So it's alcohol you can't buy at a store because it could burn mucous membranes and can hurt people. I dilute my tinctures down. So I buy high alcohol and I dilute it to a lower alcohol, but I can open the 95% alcohol and smell it and I won't burn my nose. Sometimes with vodka, if you open it up and you try to sniff it, it hurts, right? It's like
right.
It's a really strong smell. So I prefer something that's a bit more neutral. And I find rum is kind of that neutral kind of, alcohol that you can buy. Alcohol should be clear. Rum usually has a color added to it, so that's something to consider for your medicine, is that there might be a colorant in your medicine.
What about brandy?
Brandy is really nice as well. Brandy is a little bit sweeter. I use brandy for making what's known as a flower essence, I'll use maybe a bit of brandy in my tinctures. I just find I've always more went towards the rum, just because brandy is a little bit sweeter, but it is a nice one as well. So you could use brandy.
Okay.
So if you're going to do fresh, do it at 40%. If you're going to do dry plant, you just want something that's over 25% alcohol.
So with fresh, would you still let it dry for a day?
Nope. Fresh, you can put it directly in. And actually some plants will be more potent fresh, more active fresh than they will be dried. So things like St. John's wort, I always make a fresh tincture.
Mm-hmm.
We have feverfew, that should be a fresh tincture. Garlic should be a fresh tincture. So there's certain plants that as they dry, they actually get deactivated.
Okay.
So the drying process will actually destroy constituents.
Mm-hmm.
So making a tincture is the best way to preserve a fresh plant. It's the closest thing we can do to eating the fresh plant itself. Is make a tincture.
Awesome. And how long does the tincture last?
So with that tincture, when doing the folk method, so you're just taking the mason jar, you're putting the herb in, and then you're covering it with alcohol. We want to let that sit for at least 4 weeks. In this case, we're wanting to keep it out of the sun, out of the heat. We just want to let it sit, and we want to shake it every day. So we want to activate it by shaking it. After those 4 weeks has happened, we can then strain it. So we're going to strain it through either through cheesecloth or a strainer, whatever works for you. It depends on how chunky or how small those pieces are. Things like chamomile, I find I have to put through a cheesecloth because it's so, the petals kind of break apart. But if you're doing like a dandelion root that's cut into chunks, a strainer would be fine as well. And then from there, again, just like with all herbs, light and heat and oxygen will start to deteriorate the herbs. So if you have an amber bottle, that's the best. So sometimes you have extra bottles left over from supplements or from tinctures. Save them and pour your tinctures into them.
Absolutely.
If you're just going to use a mason jar, that's fine as well. But just put it into a cupboard where you can actually shut the doors. You just don't want to have it sitting where light can touch it because it will damage the constituents. So all of my tinctures are in amber bottles, but sometimes my processing, so when I process my tinctures, I'm doing what's known as a maceration, which is what I just talked about. Doing the folk method is a maceration. We're letting the tincture sit for 4 weeks and it's macerating at that time. I just have big kind of pickle jars that I use. And so those are clear. So I just want to keep them out of the sunlight. So I might just put a towel on them or keep them in an area in my medicine making lab that's a little bit more tucked away where there's not light hitting it.
I was just thinking you could use a paper bag here too and just take a magic Absolutely. Marker and write on the paper bag what's in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, paper bag works really great as well. So that's the tinctures will last, I would say, indefinitely. I was actually just listening to a podcast with a herbalist who was talking about a tincture that was found. I can't remember where it was found now, but it was found, you know, it was like a 400-year-old tincture or something that it was, you know, in a cellar. It was kind of a bit buried under the ground. So it was cold. It was kept out of the light. And they analyzed the constituents, the chemical makeup of that tincture, and it was really active. So it was, you know, almost like it was made yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
You know, if we can keep them in a cool place and there's no light hitting them, there's no reason why they can't last for a long time. Some herbalists say the general rule is 7 years. I've had tinctures that are longer than 7 years and they're still good. You know, I would say after every year, I always just do like a quality check. So does the tincture look like it used to look? Does it smell like it? Does it taste like it? You know, if it does, then it's fine. If you're using higher alcohol, so I like to tincture things always at 40% or higher, you know, it's going to last a lot longer. 25% is minimum for preservation. And that is where, you know, potentially it could go off eventually. So I just like to tincture higher and then I know that it's not going to go off and my tinctures will last for a really long time, potentially indefinitely if I keep, you know, store them really well. But, you know, I would say at least 7 to 10 years, no problem with your tincture. And you'll probably go through your tincture faster than you think. So I won't have the, oh, it's 50-year-old tincture. It probably won't happen.
Most likely.
Unless you make a very obscure herb.
Oh, great. Awesome.
So that's doing the maceration. So that's doing the folk method. I just wanted to briefly touch on a way that I do tinctures because it is a process that you can repeat it. So if I make an amazing dandelion root tincture, I can repeat the process and I can make the exact same or very close same tincture. And this is called the scientific method. And it's scientific only because you measure things. So we measure it into a ratio. It's called a weight to volume ratio. And you might see this on your tinctures. You might see like a, you know, dandelion root or Traxicum officinal radix. That's the Latin name. At a 1 to 5, 40%. So the 1 to 5 is the ratio. It's the strength of the tincture. So if we're doing a 1 to 5, that's weight to volume. So it's grams to milliliters. So for every 1 gram that is in there, I have to take 5 mils. So to get 1 gram of medicine, I need 5 mils. A 1 to 10 is a weaker solution, a weaker tincture. It's 10 mils to get 1 gram. So we use those for things like that are really strong herbs like ginger or cayenne, or herbs that are restricted in herbal medicine. So herbs that they have a narrow therapeutic range. So a certain dose will heal and a higher dose can hurt and harm an individual. So 1 to 5. So I kind of like the classic ratios. is 1 to 3, 1 to 4, 1 to 5, and 1 to 10. And that gets weaker as we go. So 1 to 10 is the weakest, a 1 to 3 is the strongest. Sometimes you'll find a 1 to 1, and that's a special process. So you have to do a special manufacturing process, or it's known as a fluid extract. It's a different kind of process.
Okay.
If you're doing fresh, it's a 1 to 2. So fresh, 1 gram to 2 mils. And that's because the plant has water in it. So a 1 to 2 fresh is equivalent to a 1 to 5 dried. So it's kind of the same as a 1 to 5.
Got it.
And really, you're just going to be measuring. So before we had already measured, or we have a we know our alcohol percentage, so we know that we use 40% rum or whatever it is we're going to use. In this case, we can do the same thing, but we just need to have a scale and a measuring cup. So for every gram, it's going to be the 5 mils. So I would say stick to the 1 to 5 dried, 1 to 2 fresh. That's kind of the standard. Mm-hmm. So if I have fresh dandelion root and I have 10 grams of it, I need 20 mils of my 40% alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would cover that. Usually it doesn't look, so the dandelion root might not be fully covered, and that's okay. You just have to keep shaking it.
Right. Okay.
So that's a way to make a repeatable, a scientific, you know how strong your tincture is. But you know, if you're just getting started, I would say do the folk method. That's a really easy method to do. And then there's the scientific method.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great information, yeah. Krista. Thank you so much. I hope everyone gives it a try this summer. At least once. Try making your own tincture. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so much fun. And there's lots of great tutorials out there. So I'd highly recommend checking out YouTube. I'm hoping to release actually a medicine making tutorial on making tinctures in the next coming kind of month or so. So there'll be a video that shows the hands-on of how to make a folk tincture and how to make scientific with math as well. So the math is really simple, but I have it on the screen for you so you can follow along.
Oh, great. Oh, great. Thank you so much, Krista.
My pleasure.
You take care.
You as well, Janine.
Bye.
Enjoy the snow.